beginning at verse 1 and continuing to verse number 5. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 and continuing to verse number 5. As soon as you have it, do your aerobics. Amen. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. There was a general registration which was later used to, verse number 3, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. Verse number 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. For a brief title to some brief words this morning. A promise kept. A promise kept. I don't know what you're going through today, what's pressing on you today, but I'm here to tell you this morning and encourage you this morning that God is in it. That God is in it. I don't care what's wrong. Let me pause here. Let me push pause here. Sister McCully, can you come on down front? Amen. I don't care what's wrong. I'm sorry, babe, I put you on the spot. I don't care what's wrong. God is in the middle of it.
Amen.
We come up on our text. We see Caesar Augustus, the head of the then most powerful nation on earth. He makes a decree. Now, it looks like a free will decree. But if God is in it, whatever the free will decree works according to his purpose. Now, Caesar's a big shot. He's the man. He says, I don't know what his motives were for the registration. Maybe it was for a later taxation. Maybe he needs to fund a war somewhere. But all I know is that he called for the registration, and that set into motion some issues that God is already in.
Right.
So let me encourage you today. I don't care who is ahead of you, or in front of you, if God be for you,
yeah,
he's more than the world against you.
Yeah.
Caesar Augustus was a secular guy. He didn't know nothing about God, brother. He didn't know nothing about flowing in the spirit. But when God moves, I don't care who you are,
right,
you got to move.
Yeah.
See, he'll move heaven and earth.
Yes.
What? To get you where you need to be.
Yes, he will.
I don't care about your husband. I don't care about your school.
Amen.
I don't care about your finances.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Amen.
God's
able. Amen.
That's right.
Say it, brother.
Yeah.
Read your word.
Let's go to Proverbs 21, 1. Proverbs 21, 1. I also want to tell you, just stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. I don't care who your boss is, what your hot situation is, your husband. Stop being afraid. Because
Because if God is in it, he's more than worthy. Okay. Stop being afraid. I'm really talking to myself too. Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 21:1. Let me see who I want to read that. Come on, Ernest.
Proverbs 21:1.
Stand up and read nice and loud, bro.
Out of the NASB. The king's heart. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're all right, man.
I'm sorry.
Rebel.
The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand.
The king is illustrative of the person on the top of the ladder. And then God says in the proverb, no matter how tall he is, I have control over him. Now, if you say I got control over him, it must be for my good. That must mean you somebody. If no matter who the king is, no matter how tall he is, no matter how far up, I don't care about the president. I'm not saying I don't care about the president. Amen. I don't care how high he is.
Amen.
God has control.
Amen.
And no matter how bad it looks,
uh-huh.
He still got it.
Amen.
Yes, he does.
Go ahead, bro.
The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes.
Thank you.
Amen.
Everybody caught that, right?
Amen.
I don't care where you are, what you're doing. God has control of your life. He has control over those up over you.
Yes, he does.
So stop being afraid.
Amen.
Verse number 3, and all went to register in each to his own town. God set in motion something with Caesar Augustus, and now everybody's moving toward God's planned position. Now God's sovereign plan, let me give you an example real quick. God had another plan for somebody. It was really in the Old Testament. His name was Joseph. Joseph. By God's sovereign plan, his brothers kicked him down in the hole. Let's kill him. No, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. Some slave traders come. We got somebody for you. They sell Joseph. He go to Egypt. He wind up being bought by Potiphar. Potiphar's wife mess up. Come on now. Ain't nothing. This is the plan of God to move Joseph where he needs to be.
Yeah.
The wife of Potiphar mess up. She's, man, that guy's sharp looking. He's good looking. She want him. He don't want her because he's a godly man. And then things get bad, and she say, I'm going to take it. And he say, no, you're not. You're going to keep my coat, but I'm gone. So listen, he winds up in prison, brother, because not for any fault of his own, because God is moving him where he needs to be. He winds up in prison. He's elevated. And then he get out of prison, and he's the second in command. Listen, wait. Let's go to Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 and 20. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 and 20. So this gives me confidence. No matter how dark my road looks, that God got a plan, and he gonna bring it to pass.
Amen.
And the interesting thing is that it's not really always for me. It's really for somebody else. You mean to tell me, preacher, I got to swoop stuff here for somebody else?
Yeah.
Yes! Now, if you were still in the world, I can understand you asking me that. But since Christ is your king now, you're really in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Now I'm concerned about somebody else other than myself. Genesis 50, verse 19 and 20. Sister Vera, could you read that for me nice and loud? Stand up and read that for me nice and loud.
Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place
hold
of God."
Hold on, sister. Have I not been saying that to y'all? Stop being afraid.
Amen.
Stop being afraid because God is in control of your destiny.
Well, amen.
Now, if he is in control of my destiny, sister, I don't have time to be afraid no more because I can trust him.
Amen.
And if I trust him, I don't need to be afraid no more.
Amen.
Now, if it was me who was making promises, I can understand your fear. Because I have limitations.
Correct.
But if it's God making the promise, then I need to trust him.
Yeah.
Unequivocally, unconditionally,
yes,
and without.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sister. I'm sorry.
But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, sister. Now, do you mean I done went through all of this, Pastor, to save these brothers who actually did all of this stuff to me? Interesting. A shadow of one to come. Of one to come, really, who was going to die for. Let's go to Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 5, 6, and 7. I won't pick on Sister Debbie because she ain't feeling good today. Come on, brother. Come on. Read that for me. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, 6, and 7.
Romans 5, 5, 6, and 7. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly.
Wait. Listen. Now, Joseph, God positioned him to save his family so that his promise would continue, right? But his brothers were really out to kill him. But God positioned him to save his brother. Now, one who was to come, which was Jesus Christ. Now, we were really useless. While we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And an interesting thing is that we still mess up after he saved us. And he still loves us.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother.
For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die.
Thank you.
But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Whew, thanks, brother. Listen, now, if God did that for you, can you not do that for somebody else? Can you not do that for somebody else? That's why the Spirit of God has been given you to make the impossible possible. I'm going to read verse 4 and 5. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. If you all remember at all the sermons have been kind of hung in the Old Testament. And we would run up on the gospel being presented.
Abraham sacrificing his son. And then he finds this ram in the thicket caught by his horn. And then we move up and we see in the creation account, Genesis 3:15, where God, even in the darkest time, provided some light at the end of the tunnel. Genesis 3:15, he said, the seed of the woman. And then, let me see, where else did we go? Oh, Ahaz. Ahaz, the messed up king that did not ask for help, God gave him help at the conduit, and then he gave him the gospel in the midst of all that stuff. It was all pointing forward. All pointing forward to who? Jesus Christ. That's who it was. And then God, all that stuff was a promise. And then we come to Luke chapter 2, we see the promise coming to pass. Right. By great power, God brought it to pass. Now, if he did that and all that stuff, what in the world can he do for you? Stop being afraid. Malachi chapter 5, verse 2. And it's the last time we're going to do our Bible aerobics. Malachi chapter 5, verse 2. Malachi chapter 5, verse number 2. Oh. Did I get that wrong? Uh-oh, I'm sorry. Micah! Oh, I didn't see my acronym right. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. That was on me, y'all. Stone me. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. Trick question. Thanks, bro. Thank you. Okay, so we call that. I have a picture on the other one. Micah chapter 5, verse 2.
But you, O Bethlehem, he said, Ephrathah?
Uh-huh.
Who are too little to be among the clan of Judea, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, who coming forth is from of old, from ancient days.
Yeah, listen. God not only tells you who's coming, but he's telling you where he coming from. Do y'all know the significance of that prophecy? That now this prophecy was made way back here and the fulfillment is way over there. And don't nothing get missed at all. The prophecy come to pass. He comes from Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus has started something in motion. He thought it was him alone, but it was really God working it out. Another interesting point. Only God can work this out. You got living bread coming from the house of bread. That's what Bethlehem means. The living bread comes from the house of bread. When you're hungry, the living bread has exactly what you need.
Yeah.
He has promised those things that he's going to bring them to pass.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
A promise kept. If he did that, all that great stuff then, what won't he do for you? My closing statement, stop being afraid. Let's meditate. think on these things and let God work it out.
Amen.